for coming. Oh,
thank you. Let me tell you how it goes, Jim. I was in Atlanta today to let the wrestling world know that Ric Flair is back in this sport. Woo! As you know, sometimes in professionalism, you gotta be kind of low-key. So I said that tape I made today wasn't gonna get the message across unless I came out here and woo all night long. So Terry Funk, this is short and to the point. I'm gonna be in Baltimore, woo, style of profile. And on the 23rd of July, 1989, I am going to kick your Texas. Wondering what Terry Funk thinks about every day. Because Funk, when you close your eyes tonight, remember one thing and remember it well. I took your best shot and I'm back. Now, pal, you gotta deal with the world heavyweight wrestling champion.
This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Loa,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EN Radio.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo. Write it out, Neats. Write it out. Woo. What's causing all this? You know what it is. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. I, as always, for almost 12 years now, your gracious host, the Messiah of Memories, the Odor of Yesteryear, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya. It is May 24th, 1984 throwback, but this is 2024. It's 40 years later, and I'm pretty excited about this because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, because it's Augie's birthday. Happy birthday, Augie. He can give a shit. He's sleeping. That's one. Two, I found this. I mean, I knew it when it happened, but I wanted to look into more of it, and I'm going to try to stretch it out because it's really not that great of a clip. It was a good match, but we'll get into it, and then we'll talk some current stuff. We'll cover some current stuff that's going on this weekend. And anyway, but yeah, so I did some math on Wednesday at work, and if I do an episode a week like I used to do from now until July, it'll be episode 500, and it should have been episode 6-something, but you know how life is, and I promise you guys I'm not going to apologize as much as I did from the past, because it is what it is, but I worked out a itinerary of topics that I want to do. So I'm proud to announce that the Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be celebrating its 500th episode right around the time the Turnbuckle Throwbacks has their anniversary, which is either July, I want to say 5th. Well, July 3rd is the actual day I started this in 2012, but this year to be either the 5th or the 12th, I have to work it out because we're going to have some special guests on, we're going to have some things going on, and I'm pretty excited. Because, you know, it's 500 episodes, and I know the Wizards just announced they're doing, like, I think it's 600 or 700, I forget, but they're doing, now they're just playing all their old stuff in the vault, and it's kind of ironic how I thought about it, and then, like, a day later they announced theirs, so we're going to have a couple anniversaries in the next couple of weeks, so, of course, as always, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, and, you know, be on the lookout for also social media gimmicks. They're pretty active on the social media. And I want to thank everybody for their feedback from last episode. I'm getting feedback. I love feedback. Good and bad. I don't care. So, I opened it up. We got I'm in a Ric Flair kind of mood. So we're going to do some Ric Flair today. I'm in a Ric Flair mood a lot. I just like playing these old clips because it's so fun. That time era was so ridiculous between 85 and like 89, 90. Like, those promos were insane between the NWA and with the Crockett's and then breaking off at the WCW and whatnot. But I must tell you, it was so much fun just going through some stuff. I am elated to be on this week. I needed a mental health day. I took a day off yesterday, so I just reset hit the reset button. I'm going to have a long weekend ahead of me, so I figured let me just get going. I'll be with the boys this weekend, so we're going to have a good time, if you will, and it's going to be fun. We're going to watch the pay-per-view. It's Memorial Day weekend, and if you have Monday off, do me a favor. Before you post anything on social media, know the difference between Memorial Day in the States. This is just for the people in the States, obviously. Memorial Day and Veterans Day. So Memorial Day is when we remember all the veterans that passed away from in combat and whatnot. That's Memorial Day. That's why you have a day off on Monday if you have a day off. So God bless you. And then Veterans Day is in November when you actually can thank a veteran and say, hey, thank you for your service or past service, whatever. But this weekend is a weekend of remembrance. So remember all the ones that passed away. If you have friends or family that passed away from the military, you remember them and celebrate their memory, not celebrate veterans. Veterans are in mourning this weekend. I see people posting stuff on social media. Oh, thank a veteran on Memorial Day. No, don't thank a veteran on Memorial Day that's alive. Please don't do that. You're going to piss a lot of vets off. Do me a favor. They've been through enough, these poor souls, man. Do the right thing. So, anyway, yeah. So, that's going on. The only thing I didn't watch a lot of wrestling this week. I will watch AEW because I'm watching a pay-per-view on Sunday. So, I'll watch Dynamite probably tonight or tomorrow morning if I have time. I have some stuff going on this weekend, like I said. And then, obviously, Collision on Saturday night, if I catch some of it, I'll be lucky. If not, I'm not too worried about it. But there was a lot of feedback on the build-up to it, and we spoke about this in length on multiple times on the show. Like, there's just, it depends on the time, man. There was a time where the build-up was everything, and now it's not. It's not the focus anymore, you know? There's a couple of good storylines, and I'm excited, but before I even get into that, I want to just shout out my Midwest folks. They got a real kick in the dick. Apparently, WWE announced that they're going to be doing SummerSlam in 26th, a two-day event in my favorite football team stadium in Minnesota. But the kick in the dick is they fucking bypassed them for Mania for next year, like, and they're going to Vegas. I'm like, the Minnesota stadium is beautiful. It's brand new, basically, right? Only a couple of years old. It's indoors. You don't have to worry about fucking weather, right? Most of these places are indoors now, but still, like, I understand why they're doing it in Vegas, but it's just a kick in the dick, man. People are pissed off. So that's like, here's the consolation prize. We're not giving you WrestleMania, but we're giving you SummerSlam for two days. Please, why do you gotta make SummerSlam 2 fucking days for? It's bad enough you stretched out Mania for 2 days. Now I gotta do SummerSlam for 2 days? And it's earlier in the year, too. It's like, it's as they say in the streets, kids, it's a bad look. It's a bad, bad look. So, my condolences to my Midwest folks. It's a kick in the dick there for you guys. Or if you're a girl, it's a kick in the bouchard. Because there are a couple of females that listen to the show that are from the Midwest as well. And last time I checked, I don't think you have dicks. So, and if you do, I'm mistaken you, I'm sorry. It's that kind of world now. But either way, so that's going on. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. I didn't do much in terms of watching. I didn't do the only thing I did prepare for was the throwback. And that's pretty much it. But, yeah, we're going to be with the boys this weekend. We're going to watch wrestling and plot some world destruction probably. You know how it goes. I'm glad to be getting away for a couple of days, though. I really am. I've had a terrible couple of days at work. Yeah, a terrible couple of weeks, but the last couple of days have been a friggin' nightmare, you know? But like I said, I was able to call out yesterday, and I called out, and I just took a mental health day. I ran some errands. I had a doctor's appointment, so I did all that. And then I just rested. I mean, because to be honest with you, man, there's certain things that I, you know, in my line of work, I'm getting to that age now where I'm just burnt out, where everything's just, you know, the littlest things are going to piss me off, you know? So now I'm learning how to, like, cope with certain things and how to manage certain things that make me angry and whatnot. So I'm doing that, and I'm pretty happy with it. But in the same breath, I just wish that things would get better, and hopefully they will. I'm very confident that they will. We have some really good leadership, and we have people in place that are trying to do the right thing. So I'm on board because I have to pay rent and eat and survive. So unless I find something better, which at this point in the game with everything going on in the world, I can't find anything that's gonna, you know, keep my lavish one bedroom apartment lifestyle. But that's another story. I am just blessed to be alive right now. I'm happy. Things are going good, and I mean, outside of work, everything's doing really good. So I'm happy about that. What else is going on here? I didn't watch a lot of wrestling, and I was gonna, and then I just realized, hey man, I got things to do. I got to do a throwback because I got on my high horse on Wednesday, and I said, you know, maybe if I start doing this again regularly, I'll have some more focus. And then a lot of you guys were like, a lot of you wrote back to me and said, we don't care if you don't do it every week. We're just glad that you're still doing it. And I'm really happy that you guys are supporting me like that, because it really is appreciated. And, you know, and I'm not going to lie about it. The whole Rob and Mickey Jumping Bomb Angels project has put a little spark in my ass too. You know, it just takes a village, like I said last week. And if you do it, everybody gets inspired. You people inspire each other. So I feel like, you know, them doing that. And by the way, I mentioned all the handles last week, but they have another shirt that I'm probably going to order. my next paycheck. It's another Jumping Bomb Angels shirt. It's a parody of a certain basketball game that we all played back in the 90s. A little 2-on-2. Rhymes with ham, you know. But yeah, it's fun, and I'm glad they're doing that. I'm gonna buy that shirt. It looks delicious. And yeah, they're doing big things. So go support all the JBA social media handles. They're gonna be at Wrestling Universe in Queens, New York. I want to say June. I should have wrote this down. I'm a dick, but I think it's June 15th. I think it's Bull Nakano. One of the Bomb Angels, because the other one's not coming until August, but Owl Girl's coming, and then I think there's a few people going to that are going to be at the Wrestling Universe. So I'll try to make it out there. I can't guarantee it. It's just a pain in the balls for me to travel with no car on a Sunday to Queens from where I live. It's like a fucking 3 or 4 hour commute by mass transit, and I don't feel like doing that all the time. So I'll try to make it and support my crew. But other than that, everything's doing well. And like I said, I'm excited for wrestling this weekend. I'm seeing Hammer this weekend. That came about like 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago. Like, hey, what's going on? Can I? You know, like, all right. So Hammer's gonna be joining us for the festivities. It's gonna be fun. And let's cover Double or Nothing right now. It's gonna be this Sunday. Double or Nothing will be it's in the MGM Grand Arena. I love that arena, by the way. Because I was there for hockey a bunch of years ago, but it's going to be cool. Let's see. It's going to be a 5-hour event, like always. So, all right. Roderick Strong is going to defend the AEW International Championship against Will Ospreay, best wrestler in the world right now. Ospreay should win that. Timeless Tony Storm will defend against Serena Deeb. I love Serena Deeb, but I know Tony Storm's going to in her shit locker will retain. Adam Copeland, Edge, is going to defend the TNT Championship against Malakai Black. He got a carry. Malakai got a carry Bloodbath, little homage to the Brood last week. This past Wednesday. So we'll see that. I think Malakai Black would be great if he won the title after all the nonsense. But this pisses me off, and I mentioned this already. That not only is fucking Moxley the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. But he's defending it on foreign soil. At least it's against Takeshita. So should be fun. I don't see Takeshita winning. But if he does win, he gets a future title shot. So maybe he will. It's not a title match. I stand corrected. It's a championship eliminator match. And if Takeshita does win, he's going to get a future IWGP heavyweight title match. So that'd be cool if he beats, well, anybody who beats Moxley is great in my eyes, but if he beats him, it'd be great. Little grudge match action. Trent Beretta turned against Orange Cassidy. They're going to fight finally. I hate Chris Jericho now. I hate his gimmicks. I'm over Jericho. He's got Big Bill with him, who's from Queens, so I support Big Bill all the time. He's defending the FTW Championship, which ironically is last week, in 1998, I was at the debut of that title in Queens with Tank, rest in peace. So Jericho is going to defend it in a 3-way match against Hook and, of course, Shibata. I hate watching Shibata wrestle now. I love Shibata to death, but he jobs to everybody now, and I hate that. He should be kicking people's teeth in, but this ain't Japan, so. All right, trios match for the Unified AEW World Trios Championship. Why did they take the Ring of Honor 6-man titles and unify them? Why? Stupid. Bad booking. Shame on you, Dixie Khan. The Bang Bang Gang. And by the way, if you're a figurehead, I know Rob's going to hashtag FJW, but I just saw the Jay White figure this morning, and I must tell you, it looks sweet. I'm not going to buy it or anything, but it looks really sweet. So you could pre-order that soon, I think. But yeah, the Jay White figure looks dope. They're going to defend against the Death Triangle. Ray Phoenix is back. Okay, so it's Phoenix. I can't say Phoenix because Hammer gets mad at me. Phoenix, Pac, and Penta. Oh, yeah, it's a trios match. It's only two, 3-on-3. I thought it was like a trios, like three teams, but it's not. The Bang Bang Gang should retain. Willow Nightingale against Mercedes Moné for the AEW TBS Championship. Now, you know I love my girl Willow. Strong Island represent. She's delicious to look at, too. However, they brought this useless fucking... I'm sure she's a nice person in real life, but I see no value in Mercedes Moné. I mean, Sasha Banks wrestled a couple of good matches in WWE, but, like, what have you done since you've gone? You know, I know you got hurt, but still, like, they're gonna bring her in. She's going to win the title. Willow's been killing it for the last year and a half, 2 years, and all that hard work is going to fucking lead up to that. Hopefully, they keep the story going and Willow retains, but I don't see it happening. Anarchy in the Arena, the Elite, Okada, Jack Perry, and the Bucks, the evil VPs, taking on Team AEW. Bryan Danielson, Darby Allin, and FTR. It was supposed to be Eddie Kingston. Eddie's hurt, like I mentioned last week, so I think Darby Allin's filling in for him. A heel team will probably win that with an appearance from Kenny Omega. Probably after the match or just to be in the match, I have no idea. But and for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, Swerve Strickland with that dancing fool from Brooklyn, Prince Nana, they're going to defend against Christian Cage. And I think Swerve should retain. A good card, solid card. If they book it right, you got a couple of stories, man. Now you got Forbidden Door coming up in June in Long Island. Strong Island represent. I keep saying, like, I love saying Strong Island, but... Watch a lot of Public Enemy lately, too, and Rock Him videos. So now I'm like all about Strong Island. And that's where I'm going this weekend, too. Strong Island represent. So, if you book it right, you got a bunch of good storylines leading into Forbidden Door, which hopefully will bring back MJF, who allegedly signed a very lucrative contract during his time away. So, I hope that all works out for him. So, I really do. I really, really do. I didn't watch any of the Super Junior stuff, but I'll report on that when I watch some of it and give you all the point totals and stuff like that. And when I get to that, I'll maybe next episode, or the episode after, I want to give a full report. I don't want to like just half ass it and say, hey, I watched one card. I want to watch a few cards on the way to work and do it like that, and pretty much it. But yeah, so that's a very short opening this week. I got a quick throwback for you as well. Nothing crazy. It's a holiday weekend, so I'm trying to get everything in order. I have to pack a bag. I got a hot date tonight, and I just got to get ready. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to plug our friends, and then we're going to come right back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 494. I think it's 494, 495. Let me just double check that before I keep saying it's 494, and I'm like, you know, I lose count because I'm just dopey. Let me see. Let me just check my phone gimmick. Let me check the phone. Yes, it's 494 because last week was 493. All right, we're good. And Lord Alfred Hayes, please take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Hey Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 494. It's your boy, Philly Rea, checking in on this ridiculously hot day out in Staten Island. It's like fucking 85 degrees outside. I had to run the AC last night. I'm running it now. It shouldn't be this. It went from like spring, barely spring, to like summer. You know what I'm saying? There was no in between. This is, we only have two seasons now in in New York. It's hot and cold. That's it. There's no in between anymore. So, all right. So let's talk about today, 40 years ago today. So today, 40 years ago, in 1984, Ric Flair regained the World Heavyweight Championship from Kerry Von Erich in Japan. And it got me thinking about, I watched Iron Claw again last week. And last Sunday, I watched Iron Claw. It was on HBO. I watched it. And, you know, we all know the Von Erich tragedy. I would like to do an in-depth, like, roundtable podcast episode about the Von Erich family, because there's so much to do. There's a lot of things you can dip into. And a lot of people were complaining about the movie and how inaccurate it was. And, my only defense was that, and I said this on a podcast, too, that Kevin oversaw the whole thing, Kevin Von Erich. He oversaw the entire process. So if he thought there was something that was in out of line or inappropriate outside of the terrible acting of some of the guys that weren't very good actors, but there was something bad that didn't go the way he told them it went down or they thought it went down, and you know, it's the director's interpretation, then he would have that wouldn't have been in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Is that there's a lot, listen, the Von Erichs, that territory, world-class championship wrestling, legendary, like legit legendary. And I mean, like Vern Gagne in the Midwest and like Vince up here in the Northeast, you know, and then in Texas and in world-class, TV was everything, man. TV was everything. I just listened to an interview with Jim Cornette, and he said that when they ran shows in Fort Worth, there was a channel in Fort Worth that was basically like, it covered almost the entire state, to Channel 11, I think it was, he said, back in the day. So there was a match with they, you know, they would show, they would record TV, like on a Monday or a Tuesday, and then they would show it in the Fort Worth region, like Saturday night slot from like 10 to midnight, and people tuned in. The same way they did for the Superstation, Channel 17, you know what I'm saying? For TBS, for Georgia, and then, you know, the Crockett, Jim Crockett Promotions, the territory, right? So, you know, with the Von Erichs, I don't know. I mean, there's certain days where I'm like, great, you know, but then there's certain days where I'm like, I'm bummed out about it. David's passing impacted this entire throwback, and I'll tell you why. Because David was legit the best wrestler of the whole crew. David was poised to be a really, really good professional wrestler, and that was said by like guys like Harley Race and Ric Flair and guys that can work, right? So David, you know, the Von Erich territory, you know, Fritz, his, you know, Papa Fritz wanted a world champion. He kept saying, one of my boys is going to win it. And Kerry was his favorite. Kerry was the, you know, the poster boy, because Kerry was supposed to go to the Olympics as a discus guy. And then, of course, the whole banning of the, you know, the Olympics in 1980 prevented Kerry. Kerry would have won the gold medal, because there was nobody that was better than him at what he was doing. So when his dad convinced him to come into wrestling, well, you know, in the movie, he's like, well, Kerry's my favorite. Then you. And then you guys can, but you have an opportunity to move up. And I'm like, first of all, just that him telling his kids who his favorite is, it was like cringeworthy, because I'm like, even if I had more than one kid, I could never do that, you know. That's just how it was back then. That's how he was, and that's how the story went. But David dying in Japan basically sets up this whole chain of events, right? So David dies. He was supposed to fight Flair for the title, and then he's not. So, but this big event was booked for, like, the Parade of Champions in, I believe it was March 5th of 84. And, you know, them giving the belt to Kerry, basically, was a, out of respect to David. Which kind of sucks, because, like, that's like saying, well, you know, David was good, but Kerry was okay. But since Kerry's around and David's not, we'll just give you the belt. And reading about that now, not, I mean, a 10-year-old Phil was like, holy shit, Kerry Von Erich won a title. You know, and again, we didn't have cable, so I'm going by the magazines. I'm like, wow, Kerry Von Erich won the NWA championship. And I knew how over the Von Erichs were over. Now, even in this match that, even in the title match that we're throwing back this week, the rematch in Japan, they were over, and they had a following in Israel. Like they wrestled, they were known, they were international, and they were so over. They did no wrong, and ask the Freebirds, you know what I'm saying? Ask Jimmy Garvin, ask Eric Embry, ask you can't ask some of these guys, they passed on, but Mick Foley talks about it all the time when he was over there in world class. Skandar Akbar, when he did the world class documentary I mentioned a few times on the show, but the world class documentary that the WWE put out, I think it's on the cock, but I know I have it on DVD as well, because I bought it when it first came out. that will, and Gary Hart and all those guys spoke about it, but, you know, they, you know, that territory was all about the Von Erichs. No matter what era they were in, no matter what situation they were in, it always came back to them, and they were the drawing power. Like, they weren't, you know, the Von Erichs were everything. They were like the Hulk Hogan of Texas. They did no wrong. And if you came into their territory, you were fighting one of them or all of them, you know? And it was fun to watch that feud with the Freebirds and you know, and I always liked Kevin. I did like Kerry. I didn't mind. I didn't, you know, but Kevin was my favorite. I didn't see David wrestle a lot because, like I said, I didn't have cable. But I saw David. David was the best wrestler, though. David was definitely the best wrestler. But Kevin was my favorite. They brought the fake cousin Lance in. He was trash. Mike was okay. He just didn't want to do it, you know, rest his soul. But then Chris, of course, that was the little guy. And that's when I started getting cable and I saw him. He didn't last too long, and he just didn't have the body for it. And you guys know the tragedy. Like, it's out there. You could just watch it, and of course watch the movie, man. The movie's pretty good. I'm sorry, I know people get shit for it, but I know that the movie's good. But I thought it was bad. I didn't think it was bad. So either way, all right. Let's take a quick look at let's play the ending of the Parade of Champions match when Kerry won the title. Let's do that.
Look out! The champion climbing, carries on his feet, grabs him, takes him out, and throws him across Texas Stadium. Kerry with a drive, the champion in the corner. Clear, upside down, falling back. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Kerry with a right. Lying there. Step over toe hold, but Kerry puts a stop to that by kicking the champion away. Another step over attempt, and Kerry knocks him away a second time. Here's Flair from the ropes, wants to toss Kerry across. Kerry's got him. Here's the Nelson pin. Two, three! The dream comes true. Yes!
Yeah, I apologize for the volume. I couldn't adjust it for some reason while I was recording. But, yeah, man. So, that was in Texas Stadium, and almost the full capacity. It was insane. People went bananas for that, man. People went bananas for that. So, again, certain things I didn't know. Like, I just thought that you know, again, they gave Kerry the title because he was, that was a out of respect to David, right? I would rather have Kevin won it, but either way, because I think Kevin was the hardest worker. I think Kevin out next to David, Kevin was the one guy in the family that got it. Like he knew, he was very sound in the ring, you know, and he sold well, you know. I just felt like if David wasn't a thing or now that, if David wasn't as good as he was supposed to be, and then he passed on, Kevin should have been the next in line. But Kerry was the one that they picked out of respect to Fritz, who was on the NWA committee and obviously pushed for Kerry to win the title. So now, here's what I thought for the last 35 years. I had no idea until recently, which is another reason why I wanted to do this throwback today. So my understanding was that we know Kerry was unreliable, right? We knew Kerry was unreliable, but we didn't know. I didn't know a lot about the whole thing behind him losing the title so quick. I didn't know. And I just thought that he lost the title because he wasn't very good. You know, that he was not very good. Give me one second here. I got to pull up something for you guys. Because, yeah, I didn't know. Like, I just thought, wow, they figured they flip it because Flair was touring anyway. He was supposed to go to Singapore and he was going to China too to fight. And, like, him and Race were, like, still a thing. Like, him and Harley Race were still, even though Race was not fighting him regularly anymore, people still wanted to see that match. You know what I'm saying? So, it was so weird. Let's see. Give me one second here. I'm going to pull this up here. One second. Yeah, I'm sorry. My computer, like, did a thing. I don't know. Anyway, so before I play this Ric Flair clip on his old podcast, I want to just run down the card real quick from that day. May 24th, 1984, it was the Yosuka Kanagawa, Japan, 2,800 in attendance. It was All Japan Pro Wrestling's Grand Champion Carnival number 2, day 6. They had, like, this carnival series, and they would have, like, you know, a series of matches and stuff like that, tournaments and whatnot. Hiromichi Fuyuki defeated a very young Kawada. Ultra 7 beat Masuo Momota. Ricky Hatta defeated Momota. Another Momota. Mighty Inoue and Ishikawa defeated Atsushi Onita, very young Atsushi Onita, and Magic Dragon. Buzz Tyler and Goro Tsurumi defeated Great Kojika and Motoshi Okuma. The Destroyer, old school wrestler Destroyer, beat Manasubu Fuchi, or Fuki, I think it's Fuchi. King Tonga, you know him well. You guys know King Tonga as Ming and son of all the Bullet Club kids. He beat Gypsy Joe. Gypsy Joe, that guy deserves his own podcast too. That guy was a character. Tiger Jeet Singh and Uida defeated Asura Hara and Giant Baba. Tenryu and Jumbo Tsuruta. This must have been an insane match. Tenryu and Jumbo Tsuruta defeated Harley Race and Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan wrestled on this card. I couldn't believe it. And, of course, Ric Flair defeated Kerry Von Erich in this heavyweight title match. The match wasn't that long. And then, like I said, I was wondering why. All the time, I just thought that, you know, that Flair, I mean, that Kerry Von Erich was terrible, but apparently there was a reason why he dropped it so quickly, as you hear now Ric Flair talking to Mark Madden.
Somebody who calls himself me, ask Rick about Don Owen and the Portland territory.
Yeah.
It's the least talked about, and they had a lot of talent come from there. How often did you work for Don? Because
I worked for him a lot.
Known for Roddy.
Yeah, I know. I worked with Don a lot. I loved it out there. Don was a great guy. Great story. The night before I lose the belt to Kerry in Dallas, in the David Von Erich Memorial, right? I wrestle Piper for an hour in downtown in the Civic Center not the Rose Garden or the Rose Place, but the Civic Center, right?
Why they switched it so fast?
He missed his first shot.
Where was his first shot supposed to be?
I don't know. I was on my way.
It's amazing. I never heard this story. Is that why they switched it back so quick? Was he supposed to have it longer?
Yes, absolutely.
Boy, there is a scoop here. That amazes me.
No, absolutely. He was supposed to have it. He missed his first shot. I don't know where he was. And I don't know why he missed it. If history is any true, if there's any truth to the history, there's obvious reasons why he might have missed it, but God, once again, the greatest kid in the world, but then, well, we all have our demons. No, so I was just going over there to wrestle Harley. We were getting paid a lot of money to wrestle Harley in Singapore and in Hong Kong. And we flew back into Tokyo, and they called me and said, well, you're going to take the belt off Kerry. We're flying him over there now. So that's how that happened.
That's amazing. There's one of our headlines from the Ric Flair podcast.
Woo!
Kerry dropped the title early because he missed his first shot as champion. That's just incredible.
Yeah, and it could have been due to injury. I don't know. I just know he missed it. That's why I got it back. It was within a two-week period that I had it.
Yeah,
back.
2 weeks later.
Yep.
Might have been 10 days. I'll look up the date. We'll get it next week.
Yeah.
Here's one from Brian, and let me give the brief because Rick was never going to be the third member.
All right, that was courtesy of the Ric Flair podcast. That was like 2 years ago with Mark Madden. All right, so what's taking out of Japan? I mean, I can't play the I have the entire match. It's in Japanese, so I can't really play the clip. There is someone that I think it was Texas commentators that world class guys. They recorded something and he overdubbed it, but there's only like a minute and a half of that footage of them talking on YouTube. That was a thing too. So anyway, so May 24th, 1984, like I said, it was a house show in Japan, in Yosuka, Japan, and it was Flair versus Kerry Von Erich, and it was, the match didn't go that long, and it was two out of three. Here was the thing. It's two out of three falls, right? And the match opens well. Kerry, obviously the stronger guy. Does the flexing with Flair, pushes him around a little bit, you know. And that's normally how Ric Flair lets bat when he fights the bigger dudes, like when he fights Luger or Hogan or any of those bigger guys. He lets the big guys, you know, dance with him, you know, like they'll do like a collar and elbow tie up, and then the guys will push him off and flex, or they'll knock Flair down in the corner and Flair begs for mercy, and, you know, and then Flair gets up and he'll put a poke to the eye, or he'll do a kick to the leg or the knee and start working on the knee because that's his thing. And I'll give Kerry credit, even though Kerry wasn't a great performer. The one thing Kerry looks good. He always looked good. Always looked really. He had a fantastic physique, even after his motorcycle accident where he lost his leg and whatnot. And no one knew he lost his leg either. He wrestled with basically one leg with a prosthetic, and he had to learn again how to walk and learn, and then he went to wrestle with it. So, kudos to him for doing something like that. That's insane to do that, right? But Kerry held his own. Flair does come with the comeback and then wins the first fall with a figure four, because like I said, he gets over. Kerry's power, and then you know, breaks guys down. That's the beauty of Ric Flair. Ric Flair can do that all the time. Back in the day, obviously. So now the second fall, and again, this is all Japan. The crowd was crazy for Kerry. The crowd was chanting Kerry's name. Maybe a third of them, and like I said, the match didn't even go 30 minutes. I don't think, right? But it was a full house, and they were just beside themselves, these guys. And they went over, and the girls went crazy for him. So now the second fall comes, and Flair tosses Kerry. No, I'm sorry. So Flair gets knocked out of the ring. You know how he does that slingshot where he gets thrown into the ropes, and he bounces over the ropes and walks the apron. Kerry clips him while he's on the apron, knocks him over. Flair gets back up. They take it outside. They go back in the ring. Flair goes to run and stand up on top rope after getting Kerry down. And as he's coming off the top rope, Kerry catches him with the claw, the Von Erich claw, and basically claws him into a pin. Not so much a submission, but he had the claw on Flair for like maybe half a minute, maybe a little more, and maybe 40 seconds, 50 seconds, and then he got Flair down and pinned his shoulders with the claw. So Kerry ties it up. So now they go to the they break. They go to the corner. Now here's another thing too. They had the young boys working on the wrestlers in between falls. So Kerry's young boy is I don't know who it was, I couldn't get a glimpse of him. I couldn't recognize him. I don't know if he was anybody popular. I'm sure if I watch a few more times, I'll figure it out. But the young boy had a bucket with the sponge. Now they have those the things for the guys when they put them, you know, the coal packs, right? But he had some kind of sponge, whatever the hell it was, and he helps Kerry roll his knee pad down where the injury was for the figure four. I don't know what the hell that was all about. But and then he's got this. It's not. I don't think it's water. It's a bottle of. It has to be a bottle of beer, because the bottle was brown and it was taped up, so you couldn't see what was on the label. They taped the bottles up. So these guys are drinking beer in between. There's no way that was water. There was no way that was a bottle of water. And if it was, why would you cover it up? Why would you cover the label up? You know what I'm saying? That looked like a glass bottle of beer back in the day, old school glass bottle of beer. So now here's the third fall, and the one spot Kerry goes for like some kind of press or something like that. Flair moves out of the way. Basically, Flair stays in the way, and then Kerry gets shot out into the outside. In Japan, you have a 20 count, right? So Kerry literally takes his time and walks around the ring, right? Gets back up on the apron and basically gets back up and then tries to come in, and then this happens.
Master. Flair now with a suplex on Von Erich. Kerry got out of it. Roll up by Von Erich. One. No, wait a minute. Flair sits on Kerry. Two. Three. Ric Flair did it. Ric Flair, the new National Wrestling Alliance Heavyweight Champion. Ric Flair is now a three-time World Heavyweight Champion. And there he is, the champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair. And Kerry Von Erich is going to debate the issue here with referee Yamaguchi. Debate it all you want, Kerry Von Erich. It was a clean three count. Kerry's father, Fritz Von Erich, didn't recognize the title win, but it didn't matter. Ric Flair, a three-time National Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion. Ric Flair's third title reign was the longest in his career. Let's go back to some classic moments of Ric Flair's third title reign. Some of the best moments in history.
And sometime when I can find a time in my schedule, I'm going to call Hugh, because he invites me over to the mansion all the time.
I apologize for the audio. That's the only audio that I have in English of the finish of that match. It was a clean pin, though. The commentator was correct. It was a clean pin. He rolled, Kerry rolled him, then Flair just leaned back and rolled over on him and basically sat on his legs and pinned him. So, yeah, Ric Flair becomes a heavyweight champion for the third time. Maybe 16, apparently 18. I think that we lost count after a while, right? So, yeah, Ric Flair wins the title. And here's another thing, too. He mentions, the commentator mentions that Fritz Von Erich protests the match. Why? You know, I know why. Because A, it was in Japan. And B, he lost. So he's playing sour grapes. And again, I didn't know that Flair was doing it on no sleep. I didn't know that he was supposed to fight, that Kerry missed his first. How are you the world champion and you miss your first title defense? So Flair's just, you know, and Flair was trying to be humble. I'm just speculating. He could have been injured. Nah, man. And now that we know the story of the Von Erich family and Kerry's demons, and again, Kerry had a reputation of being a great person, but not being very reliable. And back then in pro wrestling, you had to be reliable. Back then, you had to show up for your matches. Back then, you had to be there, and you had to be all about it. There was a, you know, a couple of times where he showed up inebriated or high. There's one time he did wrestle Flair, but they didn't know if he was in his right condition. And Cornette talks about that on his podcast. But like that to me is just everything. You know, stories like that. Hearing Flair say it, and I mean, I'm sure if Fritz was still alive, he'd have his own theory about that. And I'm sure if you ask Kevin, one of two ways, Kevin will either cover it up or just admit that Kerry was very unreliable. But to put Kerry in that spot because of his brother passing, I'm going to play devil's advocate for like a few seconds here. Maybe it was too much pressure for the kid. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was too much where he couldn't handle it. You know, there was pressure all around. If you watch that Iron Claw movie, Jesus, man, it was just their dad put too much pressure on him to the point where it killed when his family kept dying off. Even like the mom, even like the wife, like left Fritz. Like it was like. She kept losing kids. Like, what are you doing to my kids? Like, it was that kind of party. And you just feel bad, like tragic. I remember, though, getting the magazine, being like, holy shit, man. They really didn't get a chance to really cover all of it because they had to wait till it was over because, like I said, he only had it for 3 weeks. And then he missed his first title defense. I want to know who he was supposed to fight, though. Was he supposed to fight Flair? Flair won't say, but I'm sure he knows, maybe he, you know, but Flair was too busy getting paid, you know, that overseas Asia money, man, because he's a name. Him and Holly, still a name, you know what I'm saying? No joke. It was just an interesting time, and, you know, a lot of things happened in 84, like the Vince started his boom. He started Tuesday Night Titans on USA. Black Friday happened with Vince doing the whole thing with Georgia TBS buying that time slot. So a lot of things. 84 was a deal. Tito Santana was feuding with the IC title with Morocco and Valentine and back and forth with those guys. And of course, what happened in the beginning of 84, Hulkamania starts. So setting up for WrestleMania at the end of the year. So 84 was an important year. Maybe we'll try to highlight some of that stuff. We've done a lot of that stuff already, but maybe we'll try to stuff I didn't get. Maybe we'll get to it. But yeah, man, that was the third title title reign for Ric Flair in a nutshell. I wish the rest of the match was in English though. I think that was just a highlight reel. From like a local sports thing or like tech or World Class did their own because World Class did their own everything when it came to the production TV. They had their own camera company. They had their own camera guys. They had their own they had their own commentators. They did it. Fritz had everything on his own. So I would love to like talk to I think Ken Mantell has passed on, but. The other guy, the referee, the booker. I would love to. He was just on the Dark Side of the Ring episodes, but I would love to pick his brain and ask him if there was more input about this, you know? Because I know they cover David passing and all that shit. But there's got to be more to this. I want to try to dig up some more shit, but there's got to be more to this feud. I mean, not this feud, this particular match. Yeah, so that's this week's throwback. It's a little short. I apologize, but like I said, I was just trying to get an episode in to start your holiday weekend. I'm glad you guys are still supporting us. Let me play the. Let me get the gimmicks up here. Where's my gimmicks? There we go. Like I said, before anything, please have a safe and wonderful holiday weekend. You know, guys, all the social media handles. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. Facebook, of course. ShiningWizards.com, TermicalThrowbacks.com. Support the Jumping Bomb Angels, all their social media handles, ProWrestlingTees.com. We have a store. They have a store. The Wizards have a store. Support all the shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Shout out to everybody doing their thing, man. Again, have a great and beautiful rest of your weekend, holiday weekend. Remember why you have the day off, though, please, if you live in the States, obviously. I am out of here. Take care. Comb your hair. I don't have any. But avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. And be nice. And don't be a jerk-off. Be kind to animals and old people. Good night, Gracie.